Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Guys, welcome back to Let's Be Clear. It's been a minute since we have been here, and we are starting to do this a little bit differently. We're going to start welcoming some interviews and conversations. I've realized just in my own listening to podcasts, and Aaron, who is joining me today, can probably agree that having raw and intentional conversations really allows the Holy Spirit to just do his thing.
Yeah.
So I am so excited. You are my first.
I'm the first one.
Back.
That's awesome.
But guys, this is Aaron Kennedy. This is my pastor who I've had the honor of learning from and sitting under, and just truly, I mean, I know that people are watching this and listening, but you know, you and your family have made such a difference in my life and Will's life and my family's life. And so I just wanted for my listeners and people to be able to tune in and hear your wisdom. Oh. And just have a conversation, you know.
Thank you.
About like the hard stuff, the good stuff, you know.
All of it. Well, yeah. Lauren and I love you guys. So proud of you and all that God's doing through you, the anointing on your life. I mean, it's pretty amazing to watch. And so just grateful to be a part and honored to be here.
Hmm. Well, I know for people who don't know, Aaron Kennedy is the lead pastor at one of the largest churches in Eastern North Carolina.
Eastern North Carolina.
If you're from Eastern North Carolina, you know
that's
how to
right.
say it.
Yeah.
And he is a husband, a son, a father, a brother, so many different roles.
Yeah.
And you steward them so well. But there's been a lot of change, and Open Door is growing.
It's been crazy.
In really cool ways.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you a second, and I actually hate introductions, but I'm going to make you just like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I've been here my entire life, you know. I've only been a part of one church, and Open Door Church is it. My mom and dad started it 38 years ago.
Wow, 38 years ago?
Yeah, and transitioned it to Lauren and I 7 years ago. And so it's the only place I've ever known. I've seen it in many different statuses.
Stages.
From different perspectives. I've pretty much done everything in the church at one time or another. I was the worship leader for a long time. I was youth leader. I was children's director. I was a maintenance guy. I was mowing the grass. I mean, it's been something wild. And I've experienced church hurt through it too. And so I've experienced a lot of pain. And, you know, I just, Lauren and I say all the time, because she grew up here too, you know, that it's the greatest honor of our life to be able to do this in the place we grew up. I think that's a very rare thing. And I had a great mom and great dad. And they left us a heck of a legacy. And so I love to play golf. Got two sons, Wesley and David. They're 14 and 8, getting ready to be 15 and 9.
And so have, they like, are. The best hair in America.
Oh, they, I mean, my son is very proud of his hair.
It's so good.
And so, Lauren and I have been married for 18 years, and we love each other. And hoping that we love each other at the end of this just as much as we do or more today. So it's a neat thing that we get to do, and pretty cool.
You know, to be a part of a church that you grew up in, and like you said, to have so many different roles, which I think, whether we're talking about a church or a business or anything,
right,
getting to see how everything operates and having your hand in that, don't you think that really allows you to lead from such a different place?
I hope so. I mean, I hope that there's not much of our staff that realize that I've not been in the positions that they've been. I mean, I think it definitely helps. And I think that I have a deep appreciation. Well, I felt called to Open Door. And I think that's really my story, is that I wasn't called to a position. I was called to a place.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the healthiest way to do it. I think one of the most unhealthy things in church today are people who are looking for a position.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it really causes a lot of restlessness and a lot of unhealth that we're finding in the church everywhere is when we're just consistently pursuing a stage instead of pursuing the place that God has for us.
And, right.
And so part of my journey has been that I felt called to the people of Open Door, regardless of whether I'd be senior pastor or not. And I think that death, if you will, in me is what really has allowed God to do some of the things that he's done. His grace, his mercy, and really us being able to do this together. And listen, I have a great team. I mean, the reality is that there's no way that Lauren and I could do this without them and wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
And so that's a big piece. I mean, not at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just a neat story. And I've always said that who you're called to is more important than what you're called to do.
I've said
that. Yeah, I love that, you know. And
but
so,
that's so helpful. Yeah. Can you say it again for a piece of people?
Oh, well, what you're called to or who you're called to, excuse me, is more important than what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And we have been very fortunate and blessed to have people that are called to Open Door.
Yeah.
And from our staff and I believe people. And so when we settle who we're called to, then we can do anything and find fulfillment.
Mm.
It's when we're always wrestling through who we're called to that we're trying to get position to give us fulfillment.
How do we find who we're called to?
I think it's really a prayer. I think it's two things. I think it's one that we have to die to the pride of position.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people are unwilling to do that.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for affirmation from people.
Right.
And it continues to cause us to pursue a hierarchy. There's a lot of the worldly mentality that has entered the church, and it's actually what's destroying it today.
Right.
Is that we're working our way up a ladder. And a great example of that is Tyler Braden's our youth pastor, and he's a rock star. And he's been with us for 12 years. And the truth is, like in the kingdom of God, there is no better ministry than the students.
Yeah.
Future generation. He is on the front lines of everything that parents need today.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in church world, that's like the lowest rung.
Yeah.
That's the place you're supposed to work your way up from.
Yeah.
And so it already tells you that really in church world, there's some really backwards thought processes.
Right.
And so I think it really comes to like the whole thing that God got out of creation. Jimmy Evans says this, the only thing God got out of creation was a family. That's the only thing he received out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about it, church really is meant to be family.
Yeah.
I don't get to pick my family.
Right.
I'm talking about my earthly family.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think we should be able to pick our church?
Mm.
Maybe the place and family that we're called to be a part of is a calling, and it might be seasonal.
Yeah.
But it is that place of, God, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not just about it being the flavor of ice cream I like.
Yeah. We're so used to nurturing our preference, so you know, that's so hard. I mean, it's kind of like you really do condition yourself, and it is this, like, dying to self, like you
said.
That's exactly right. Like, over and over and over again. And I think, too, I think it's really interesting when you get in different seasons realizing, like, in a very poignant sense, when God says your normal will not be their normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to accept that.
That's exactly right.
Because I think when you get to that position,
mm-hmm.
and you, there is a... kind of a reckoning of just priority, right? Like, and one thing that you and something I wanted to tell you and Lauren show this so well, just about order of priority really determining your life, you know, and it does.
Yeah.
And it's reflected in your time and your schedule and your money and your prayer life and everything. You know, you can say all day long in your Instagram bio, these are my priorities, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that's right.
Psalm this, I am about this, I love this, you know, but at the end of the day, like, where's your attention going?
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think family, I mean, you know, for me, I've had to learn that the hard way because I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah, it's hard.
It's pretty bad, right? And so I've really had to learn that, well, I'd say it this way. So often in our life, we discount the closest relationships and the most meaningful. And it's more just because we just take them for granted. We feel like they'll always be there.
Right.
But in what I do, right, like, I can't have a bad marriage and remain a pastor.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, and so often what people do is they put pastoring above their marriage, and then the whole world falls out from underneath them. And so the truth is, the church can suffer, but if I have a great marriage, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so really beginning to learn what's the priority of life, and then God blesses when we live out of His priority.
Right.
Instead of out of others' affirmation.
How do you, like, what are some checks and balances that you have that you feel like help you?
Yeah.
When you kind of like ways that you can kind of spot, okay, I'm getting a little bit off kilter here. You know, are there some stuff that kind of red flag?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I think that there's some rhythms that through the years, we have learned that we have to
protective
keep.
Protective measures.
That just are powerful. You know, and I think when you look scriptural, I mean, you would know this. I mean, you're an incredible Bible teacher. But so much of the Bible is about rhythm.
Yeah.
I mean, God created you in rhythm.
Yeah.
There's a Sabbath every 7 days.
It's all of Genesis.
That's exactly right. It's a rhythmic way of life.
Yeah.
And so for Lauren and I, we see a marriage counselor twice a year.
Yeah.
And there'll be, we were just talking about it the other day.
Frank.
There's seasons like there's seasons where we're getting ready to go and we're like, why are we going?
Yeah.
And sure enough, something pops off in our marriage. Something pops off with our kids.
Yeah.
Something pops off. And so really helping us stay in the rhythm of working in marriage together,
mm-hmm.
like working on our marriage,
mm-hmm.
I think is really helpful. We have another counselor I see. I'm really jacked up, so I see a lot of counselors. But I see an inner healing counselor. I think getting to the lies that have been sown in us are so important. You know, so often we'll say the devil's attacking us, but the truth is the devil can't be multiple places at the same time.
Talk about that.
And so really when you think about it, you're probably not encountering the enemy.
Hmm.
More than likely, there's been a lie that's been sown in you that's just now producing fruit, and you think it's the enemy.
Yeah.
And so really going back and allowing the Holy Spirit to dig out the lies that have been sown in our life. You know, when you think about it, we believe that God knew us before we were even formed in the womb.
Right.
But if you go and study that, infants and in the womb, they're hearing voices.
Mm.
So there's something powerful taking place even in the womb with a child that they're already receiving truth about themselves and they're probably already receiving lies about themselves.
Wow.
And so allowing the Holy Spirit to go into our life and dig out the lies cuts off the bad fruit in our life. And so that's something that we all do. We do it for our family. I mean, our boys are doing that every year.
Yeah. So important, that just, like, exposure.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we're cutting this right before I go on sabbatical. So every year I take a month or an extended season off.
Yeah.
And we get away and we remember what it is to not be Pastor Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, and take off that garment.
Take off that hat. I remember having a conversation with you. It was probably a couple of years ago, but that was one thing that really stuck with me, is you were saying, you know, look, you'll have the clearly stated hat, right? And you can't keep that on all the time.
Uh-uh.
You know, that'll kill you.
Yeah.
And so that's something even right now that I'm kind of working through. Like, okay, Lord, what does that look like, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, right, like, it's kind of hard because same with working as a pastor, and also we clearly stated it's a brand that essentially represents having authentic faith. Well, hopefully I live in that brand all the time, right?
But
at the same time, I'm not always, I don't always need to be, hey, let me encourage you, whatever it is, right?
Mm-mm.
But taking understanding when God's like, hey, I just want to sit with you.
That's right.
I just want to love on you.
Yeah.
I just want you to be in a state of receiving.
Yeah.
And so even, like you going on sabbatical, which I think is cool because that's such a practical example for the people in the congregation, but everyone listening, like that's, like you said, a rhythm.
Yeah.
That is something that the Lord has said, hey,
that's right.
This is to pursue your help,
mm-hmm.
right? Like this is actually for future progress.
Yeah.
There's no stagnation here. And I think, you know, I'm quoting you a lot in this podcast. So, but I think
I got it from somebody else.
Look, nothing new under the sun.
That's
right?
Exactly
Ecclesiastes.
Right.
But I think you said, you know, if something's anointed, then your hand doesn't have to touch it for it to grow.
That's right.
And so that's the beautiful thing about it is that's really when that trust comes into play.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of, okay, Lord, hands off. I'm not just going to talk about trusting you. I'm going to actually not touch it.
Yep.
And I'm going to believe that you can send the rain and you can send the sun.
I mean, when you look, I mean, Sabbath is such a big piece of scripture. And realizing that, like, it was a day. People ask me all the time, what do you do on your sabbatical, or what do you do on your Sabbath? And the truth is, it was given to man for enjoyment.
Yeah, delight.
So it was literally like we're supposed to delight in creation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about that, it's like, I don't do anything on my sabbatical. I have fun. Yeah. I go, like, have fun doing what Lauren and I like to do.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you hoping that God speaks something so powerful to you? I'm like, no. I mean, really.
Are you sitting in a robe? Yeah.
I mean, very rarely does he say anything, you know, because it's like he wants us to remember what it's like to be children that are receiving from our Father, not people working to earn his favor.
That's right.
And and so, you know, it's a rhythm, it's a cadence to the spiritual life that really reminds us that it's him who does the work.
Yeah.
It's him who brings the blessing.
That's right.
And so often, I mean, you know, that's confusing because we are working hard and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, without rest, you begin to think you're making this happen.
But also what I've learned too, and this may just be how I'm wired, but I really think it's humanity in general.
For sure.
Is rest is warfare.
Oh my gosh.
Like it does not. It's almost like when you get in that initial, like I remember when I took my first like week off, right? Mm-hmm. I was not with Sledge and I was not doing anything and I was a Looney Tune.
Yeah.
I mean, Will was like,
What is wrong with you?
I need to bring someone else out here. Right. This is not a vacay.
Yeah.
And I had to really like go, help me, God. Yeah. Like help me really break away from this like, prison, I guess, of production and purpose wrapped into what I'm doing rather than just like, and I think I was trying to write about it the other day and I hadn't found words for it really because I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to sit in it.
If you haven't found words, we're all
no, but really where I kind of came to it is I think as a church and just in culture, it's trendy to talk about Jesus.
That's
okay.
Good.
And so we have gotten so wrapped up and wanting to experience God. Like, I want to experience God. I want to experience God. That we don't actually experience God. Because so much of experiencing God is just living.
That's
like,
exactly right.
Living in delight of what he's already done.
Yeah.
Like, the grace that he's already extended. There's no, like, I'm going to get to this marker and then be able to do what he's called me to do.
That's so good.
It's like, as I'm living, I get to do what he's called me to do. And I get to do it.
Well, what are we in a hurry to get to?
I have no idea.
Because it's like, I mean, it's amazing to see. So for somebody like you, who is absolutely blessed, who's God anointed, and it's amazing, right? To see all that God's done in your life. And I know you're talking to me, but now I get talked back to you. But it's amazing to see all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get to heaven one day and then be like, you should have more followers.
Yeah. Oh my God, nobody's going
to
care.
Right. I mean, it's like, what are we in a hurry to do?
Yeah.
It's almost like a lot of us, and depending on what, you know, background theologically people are in, it's almost like we really do need to study a little bit more the sovereignty of God and realize that it's really him who props it up, not us.
Yeah.
And that we're invited to work with him, but we're not required.
Yeah.
You know, and so if we really, and I think one of the best ways to do that, one of the indications that I'm running hot is when I take myself too serious. When I really begin to just, I'm too serious.
Like, do you think it's like you're, and I'm asking because I don't know, like impressed by your own wisdom kind of thing?
I think so. Or? And I think it's also you just get to the point where like everything is a big deal.
Like you're easily irritable?
Yes, easily irritable.
So that's one of mine because I don't feel like I'm usually an irritable person.
Yeah.
And if I snap quickly, I'm like, whoa, I'm more anxious underneath than I'm aware of now. And I'm not trusting God somewhere there and probably several places. Right. And in turn, I lose that. And I think there's a massive difference. I was actually talking to my brother about this yesterday between self-awareness and being self-consumed. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Like self-awareness leads to sitting with Father, healing. It's crucial. Right. Spiritual maturity. But self-consumption, that's a whole other rabbit hole you don't want to go down. Right. But I think when you get self-consumed, when you lose that balance and you start to get self-consumed and it's no longer self-awareness, because I think self-awareness leads to conviction, which leads to change. And there we go. Transformation's awesome. Being self-consumed, you're hitting the shame button. Forget about it. It's all about you. And all of a sudden, you're so bad, but all you can talk about is how you're so bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're not really getting anywhere.
Oh, and as a pastor, when I start taking his word as my word, instead of being able to detach correctly from it and realize that he's the one who said it, not me. Yeah. So I don't have to carry the weight of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that's big deal stuff in saying, hold on a second. Is it really? And I think we get in this place of like, really, we're making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so very little of our output, and I think it's the reason why a lot of times what we're doing isn't fruitful.
Mm.
It's because we're actually not doing it from a place of rest.
Yeah.
We're not doing it from an overflow. I mean, I don't know how you are creatively.
Yeah.
But I mean, literally when I'm in good rest and good rhythm.
It's the best.
I mean, I can write stuff.
Yeah.
I can write messages in 30 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if I'm tired, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because when you get in that place, you start, it's almost like your spirit and your flesh start arguing with each other because you know that you're not healthy.
Yeah.
So then you start bringing in doubt.
That's right.
And I think there's just that place of like, if we can establish some healthy rhythms in our life, and we just wear busyness as a badge.
Oh gosh. Because busyness is a badge, is almost like a coined phrase that nobody wants to be put on. So we're like, I'm not busy. My schedule's full, but I'm going to grumble about everything
exactly
I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right. So then it's like, okay, so, but it's still, you're still in a way turning your blessings into burdens. You're miserable to be around.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason why what you're doing is not working is because you're not grateful while you're doing it.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's, you know, but I think too, and that's what a question that, I really didn't prep you for this. I didn't prep myself. I was like, Holy Spirit, go.
We're going.
Right. But I think one thing that I have really been, just because as I get older and also just with becoming a parent, you know, I'm like, God, I really want to be, like, what kind of parent do I want to be?
Mm.
I want to be a mother who is content.
Mm.
Because, like, I think that is how powerful for Sledge to see somebody who is sat with the Lord, who said, this life is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get to live it, and I'm not running myself ragged, trying to keep up with the Joneses and a clamor in his hand, hoping
that's
he
right.
comes along for the ride.
Because
that's a really exhausting childhood,
oh,
you know?
My gosh.
And I just think so many, and I don't think it's out of malicious intent. I think it's honorable intention. But what something the Lord has really been showing me is honorable intention is not faithful action.
Yeah.
And so you can have really good intentions, but if you don't trust what he says at the end of the day, you know, and so, but that, like, with contentment, like, how do you fight for contentment? Like, what, or let me ask you this, because that's a hard question. What's God been showing you about that?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I think, well, I would say it this way, and I love where you're going with that. So I started smiling because I don't believe there's any such thing as godly ambition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think that in truth, if you look back historically,
which confuses people, so explain
that. But I mean, I think that all ambition is self-gratifying.
Mm.
I think at the end of the day, at the root of all ambition is pride. And I think that we really, God doesn't need my ambition.
Yeah.
There's nowhere that he's in need of me to be ambitious for him. He just wants obedience. That's all he's asking.
Yeah.
And so when you land there, then you realize that historically people within the church have used godly ambition to destroy people.
Mm.
It's actually what makes people disposable. And if you're not careful, because you just, I'm doing this for God, I'm doing this for God. But the truth is, we're the best liars to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right.
Like, when you really get down to it, is what I have a gift from God, or is it something that I've put my hand to and made happen?
Mm.
And because in our society, we equate growth to blessing, or blessing and growth.
That is so crucial. Yeah.
And the truth is, like, I think about Jesus. I mean, you know the word. Like, one of Jesus' greatest moments in ministry was he said to all his followers, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. And they all left.
Yeah.
And so, like, on any level, we would look at Jesus' ministry today in 2023 on Instagram as a failure.
Hmm.
There would never be a moment that we'd be like, man, Jesus is that new up-and-coming thing. Even at his height, he was still making people mad.
Yeah, he's got 12 followers, and Thomas keeps unfollowing.
And they all then they all, you know, abandoned him and ran away. And I'm like, good Lord. And so I just think that we have to really check the ambition at the door.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm saying be lazy for Jesus. I mean, that would be a great book title. But I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we have to realize that there's so much of Aaron's ego that's involved in this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what you said about self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I think that as long as we can remember that, then now we can die to it daily.
Yeah.
It's not something that you kill one time. Ambition isn't something that you just kill one time and you faced off with it and move on.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to die to, because there's a selfishness that lives on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And so,
and growth probably welcomes more ambition,
right?
It's like, I got to the mountaintop, I can reach that one.
Yeah. And right? then you end up, for me at this season, God's done so much at Open Door. Mm-hmm. And I pray that he has. I think the future will really reveal whether he has.
Mm.
So I think there's fruit. I think in church world, we have a tendency of looking very small space of time. Instead of saying, you know, are people healthier today that started attending here 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Is health being produced in their life?
That's
are
right.
they producing fruit in season?
Yeah.
Or is it sporadic?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big difference, right?
And who are they discipling?
That's right. And
right.
What's being produced and what are they producing?
Mm-hmm.
And so not from a judgmental standpoint, I just think that's the best way to look at whether we're actually putting our hands to the right thing.
Yeah.
But that ambition thing, I think at this stage of my life, we're at a place that I'm beginning to even ask myself, like, all right, God, are we doing this based on momentum?
Mm.
Or is this really your spirit? And I think finally in my life, the desire for more is kind of dying.
Mm.
Because I realized that unless it's really God, then there's not a grace to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what concerns me, is that, you know, there's a lot of people that look around and say, well, Open Door is being successful. And I hope so. But I think at the end of the day, I'm also beginning to realize more and more the cost of the success.
Absolutely.
And if it's Jesus saying pay the cost, then I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just going to cost me because I want to be bigger, it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that contentment in us, I mean, it's just a dirty word in our culture, but it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we running for?
Yeah.
And I think Brady Boyd says this to me, and he said this to me, and it has penetrated the very depths of my soul. And he said, Aaron, he said it in context of himself, and he said it as one of my oversight guys. He said it to me too. He said, I want to get to the end of ministry and still be Brady Boyd, not be Pastor Brady.
Mm.
Like, I want to still be myself. I want to hurt when I'm supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
I want to laugh when I'm supposed to laugh. I want to cry when I'm supposed to cry.
Yeah.
I want to be intact.
Mm.
And I was like, that is a pretty powerful thought, is that, man, can we get to the end of this race and still be fully human without becoming a robot? And the only way that I've discovered to do that is to detach from the role, you know, and detach from this thing, weird thing called pastoring. I mean, I have to detach from it. And every sabbatical, I wake up about 2 weeks in and I'll look at Lauren. And I mean, I can almost get emotional about it. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm getting ready to go on sabbatical. but I wake up and I'm literally like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah,
I don't want to do this anymore. And the reason why is because it's like I wake up for the first time and I don't feel the weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a few weeks after that, I'll wake up and I'll say, but I'm called to it. So I think I think that's the hell. And the first year it freaked me out, because I literally was like, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And Lauren stopped me and said, it's the healthiest thing I've ever seen you do.
Oh man.
Because I recognize that I like being me.
Yeah.
I don't really like being Pastor Aaron.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think that's the, and I think there's a grace to do it for a season. But I think those moments are things that help you remember that there's a whole lot more to the Christian faith than the job we do in the Christian faith.
Absolutely. And I think just it so much of it is so simple.
It
the
is.
Weight's just not on your shoulders.
It's
just
not
you know, yeah. But man, there's just so many, I think, and we talked about this with rhythms and having people and having,
gosh,
you know, and wisdom comes through many counselors, right?
Oh my
like
gosh.
Having those checks and balances.
Yeah.
But I think too, it's just knowing your areas of like, okay, and being okay with the fact that when they're not glamorous and when it's not something that you really want to talk about, when it's not socially acceptable, whatever, like what are your pride checks?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, and I don't remember who said this, but they said pride is the sin that made the devil,
yeah.
And it's true.
It is.
So it's like, where do yours come out? And mm-hmm. I would challenge people listening to just kind of realize like, is it that I start to get super anxious? Is that I start to go introverted and I like shut down? Is it that I start to get really irritable? Is it that I try and hyper-focus? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are your different ways? And
oh,
I think
gosh.
Knowing the practicalities
yeah.
are so crucial because God's like, hey, look, I've given you the Holy Spirit. When you hit that wall, I need you to sober up.
You know what the number one, this is hilarious because I'm laughing because this is so just true. One of my number one signs
yeah.
that it's time for
yeah.
me to get away
yeah.
is when I go to the grocery store and I see somebody and I walk the other way. I literally start dancing. Like, I mean, and it's terrible. Like, I mean, it is. If you ever see my back at the grocery store and I'm like running out the door.
Oh, I'm coming for you.
Oh, my God. I mean, it literally means that Aaron is not in a good place because I am running from human contact. Like,
that's so funny, which I think we are very similar, but that's me too. Like, if I'm not actually pursuing conversation, then I'm probably not in a healthy place myself. And it has nothing to do with
you. I'm tapped out. I'm emotionally done, and I need to get away from humans before I hurt
somebody.
Which is
why Lauren and Will don't want to go to the grocery store.
No. I mean, Lauren, probably Lauren's sign is if she's actually really being
same
an extrovert.
Will.
Like,
Will's like, good to see you. Have a blessed day.
I know. Lauren's always like, why do you have to go over and talk to everybody?
He's like, it's like the gym. Nobody goes to socialize. I'm like, we were both looking at sweet potatoes. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hi. And then,
exactly.
I don't know, we're talking about something real deep.
I know, that's
just the way it goes.
It's so true.
Man, it's so true. But I was listening to, I think it might have been Jimmy Evans. I don't listen to many podcasts,
yeah.
which we've talked about this.
Right.
I think it's also because it's like we only have a certain margin of time.
Right.
I actually listened to How I Built This by Guy Raz. I don't know if you've ever listened to that.
I'm not.
And it's not like a spiritual podcast.
Yeah.
It's not any of that. But what it does is it just challenges my gears. It's all different kinds of business owners.
Okay.
Innovators.
Yeah.
All this kind of
stuff.
Oh,
I bet that's awesome.
It's so good. And he
yeah.
asks really good questions. And what it does is it just helps me get out of the Christian
yeah.
bubble.
That's right.
You know, sometimes
start thinking
it's just
differently.
Like, yeah, it's just that curation of language. Also, I'm like, these are leaders who are building businesses that are feeding people. And these are people that I'm trying to reach.
Yes, exactly.
So if I am not trying to understand their mindset,
yeah.
their struggles, why are they doing
what are we doing? Yeah.
Right? Like, why are they running hard? I'm curious, right? Like, because then who am I talking to?
That's really good.
And I think we've almost, and this is maybe just in my industry, but we're kind of in the same one, like,
yeah.
and just in the world, we become okay with, we don't care if everyone run the race, as long as there's increase in number, speak the same language.
Yeah.
We just want more.
That's exactly right.
And that's not discipling.
No.
Right?
We so we got to figure out what the fish food is. If we're going to
yeah.
go fishing, we better know what the fish food is
yeah.
to attract them.
Yeah. It's usually uncomfortable.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal right now to say, you know, are we having the fruit that God wants us to have? Are we having the fruit that we're comfortable with having?
Mm.
And I think that it's a really important thing to say, hey, are we reaching the people that God wants us to reach? And I literally think we need to ask the Holy Spirit that,
yeah.
not fill in the blank of that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there's a group of people that we're all more comfortable reaching.
Mm.
But I think that really, and that's what, you know, your podcast, your writing, it's reaching a demographic of people that need to be reached.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are unchurched, or a lot of them have de-churched.
Very much so. Yeah.
You know, and,
yep,
and so they haven't given up on the word.
Mm.
They've given up on the church.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest, in a lot of ways, they should have.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, and I mean, guilty is charged, maybe not towards church, but I think we a lot of times misdiagnose pain as I don't know, we I think we just mislabel it, yeah. and we don't really realize why we're operating the way we are.
Yeah.
And I think so much of the world, especially even post-COVID, like, there's been some trauma that's gone undiagnosed. Trauma.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're reaching for healing, but we're bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think right now, just seeing the ramifications of that, you know, that it's really important for the church, just believers, really, right? The church is believers. That's what it is, right? That wherever we're going, right? Like, is that we're aware of that. Because you see it every day. Like, what do people do out of pain?
Oh, they hurt people.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, it's one of the things that I love about what you do, is that you really don't just write. It's really, you're sharing revelation about the Word of God. But in a lot of churches today, revelation isn't shared.
Yeah.
In a lot of churches today, the Word isn't spoken.
Yeah.
And so, you know, today there's a lot of people that are de-churched, that sadly, they are de-churched. I don't want that for anyone. But at the end of the day, maybe the church they were connected to wasn't actually a church. And I think we live in a day where, you know, we really need to declare the Word. And we always say, you know, we need to declare the truth in love, which is great. That's fine. But really what that boils down to is really declaring the truth in the right tone.
Yeah.
In the tone of church over these last few years and really going on beyond that has not really exemplified God's tone. And knowing what God's tone is so important in communication.
What is God's tone?
I mean, I think it is a tone of love. And I think it is a tone that there's a truth that needs to be shared without condemnation. So if my tone is condemning, then I'm already outside of how God speaks his word.
Yeah.
It's convicting.
Yeah.
But it's not condemning.
So don't you think that's kind of what the enemy does in church, is he says, okay, I'm going to take somebody, and I'm going to take the word of God, which will heal you, transform you, convict you. And I'm going to say it in a tone that hits just right, that pings that pain inside of you or brings up something that's hard or makes you think of a father who wasn't present or whatever it is. And then you don't actually hear what I'm saying, right? Because, I mean, I can speak for myself with, like, conflict resolution. Hit me with the wrong tone, I'm gone.
Well, it's also, we have a lot of pastors that haven't confronted the fear in them, so they're sharing God's word through fear.
So pastoring almost through hurt?
Yep.
Yeah.
And pastoring through just issues of their own life. And that's why I think if I'm going to be a pastor that leads people or helps lead people to health, then crazy as it sounds, I need to be healthy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still broken, so I have to pursue that health.
Yeah.
If not, then the filter is going to get dirty. And I think that's really what you end up seeing a lot of times, is dirty filters. And while people might not know the truth, there is an amazing sense that they know what's not truth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's almost like, I don't know exactly what the truth is, but I know that's not it. And so, it really becomes, and again, you know, we were talking about motivations and selfish ambition. There's a lot of people today that have been hurt by church because there was a whole lot of selfish motivation in what was being shared.
Yeah. Well, I know that's one thing right now with Open Door that you're really protective and firm about, is we're not going to have a celebrity culture.
No.
Right? This is not about elevating one voice. This is about allowing the Holy Spirit to infiltrate through all kinds of different giftings and people and to just really, but being intentional about doing that, you know?
Well, I mean, you have to. And I think that's, it's healthy. Not everybody likes it.
Yeah.
You know, but the truth is, like, it's the healthiest thing for the body. Mm-hmm. It's the right premise scripturally. And the most dangerous thing in our culture today is celebrity culture.
Yeah.
I mean, the most dangerous thing in church today is people are elevating people to a place that they were never meant to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a man, and you're part of the teaching team, and it's just neat to hear the different perspectives and the different understandings of God's word. And in that, as those giftings come together, it becomes beautiful.
Yeah.
And it ministers to people. But the goal of church is to mature them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to win them.
Yeah.
You know, and so what you win them through, or what you win them to, you win them through. And so it's that thing that so often we create this appetite in people, and then church has to sustain that. So we have to feed them what they like.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of immaturity because they never hear anything else. And so I think the easiest time to do that is when you're in this moment of growth, because if you don't do it then everybody builds an expectation around what they've experienced at that point. So it's really important, you know, for when we're building something, whether it's a business, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a church, that we really pray, Holy Spirit, we want to be master builders.
Yeah.
Not convenient ones.
Well, and I think about, like, even right now with Sledge eating, like, if I wanted him to mature, and I'm creating right now expectations.
That's right. Right.
And so if I know his preferences and I always suit them, then why else would he not come to the table expecting to get what he wants?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of the same thing with church, is there's a responsibility. Yeah. You know, and I think, I meant to say it in the intro, but I think one thing that you do really well is, and it's probably Will's favorite thing about you, is offering just such a acceptance and an authenticity, but very much so partner with accountability.
Yeah.
Right? Because with knowing truth comes great accountability.
Yeah.
And so, but also knowing, hey, look, however you walk in the door, whatever you come with, and whatever your story is, and look, whatever you're currently walking through, I think it's this, like, almost sometimes where we talk about getting cleaned up, and it's weird because even though we say, oh, well, I'm not cleaned up, there's still such a perception management.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where we're like still not actually assessing ground zero.
I think we had talked about that maybe on my podcast, because I love having you on my podcast there too. But we had talked about authenticity.
Yeah.
And there's a fake authenticity out there.
Well, it's like the number one trend right now.
It is the
trend.
You want
to be authentic. Yeah. And it's like you're working so hard to be
And I think authenticity, like in my context, and I don't know if this is for everybody's context, but anytime that I can step off the throne, I mean, I'm not on the throne, but in people's minds, anytime that you can come down off that is very helpful for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because it really helps them know, hey, my leader's human. Mm-hmm. Now, it is also beneficial to me because I don't want them putting me in that place, because I'll fail there.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but it is that place. Can we, and I mean, I think about Paul. I mean, Paul did that. He said, 3 times I prayed that that this thorn would be removed from me.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, my grace is all you need. And so then he goes on to say, I'll boast about my weakness. I take pleasure in my weakness. How crazy is it that Paul was willing to really say, hey, I've got weaknesses. This is Paul. Mm-hmm. He wrote most of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as pastors, as leaders, are we willing to say, we've got them too?
Yeah.
And in fact, it's the very thing that helps people know that we're all in this together, and we're growing into the likeness of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in truth, the whole reason why Jesus came is not because he didn't expect us to sin. It's because he gave his grace to cover the sin.
Yeah.
And so it's really this place of, like, you know, when we show people that, we humanize ourselves and we exalt Jesus instead of trying to humanize Jesus and exalt ourselves.
Yeah. And then we can actually be healed.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's when Jesus is high and lifted up.
I mean, I think about the woman in the Bible, the courage and the vulnerability it took for her to reach out for the garment of his robe. I'm like, and the absolute miracle, and like so like Jesus that she received healing because she was willing to say, God, I need it. Oh my God, I need it. It's everything I need right now.
And I mean, to realize in that culture, I mean, when you read the Gospels, please, I mean, and all the listeners out there, and you have got to see how Jesus interacted with women.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to know how he elevated women in a day in which they were not elevated.
Yeah.
I mean, the first person to see Jesus' resurrection was a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, the woman by the well. I mean, the lady with the issue of blood. I mean, over and over and over and over again, Jesus went out of his way.
Yeah.
To show the value, the beauty, and the relevancy mm-hmm. of women. Mm-hmm. And I think that so often, I mean, we've just got to know that, like, there is something beautiful when we pursue Jesus in spite of what it costs. Now, I would just say to a lot of women out there, I know that women in ministry and women's roles, that's a hot topic in today's culture.
Yeah.
But don't let the rhetoric of culture keep you from doing what Jesus has called you to do.
Yeah.
Like, in truth, like, look at Jesus. Look at what he said. Yeah. Look at what he put in place. Mm-hmm. And let all the haters die.
Yeah.
I mean, literally yeah. let their voices fade away. Because when we start listening to culture more than we start looking to Jesus, then we're going to end up in a ditch every single time.
Yeah, that's right.
And so seeing that, like, man, when we're willing to take the heat mm-hmm. in pursuit of him, mm-hmm. there's something powerful that happens.
Well, and I don't know if you've noticed this too, but it's just like you have that fear of the opposition, right? You hear the voice, all that. But it's like when you, like, press the button of, like, okay, I agree with you, God. Mm-hmm. Like, the absolute just, like,
peace.
Yes. That comes with surrender.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, really realizing, and it's like you said, maybe we just really all need to take a note, and honestly, every day probably, about the sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
Like, because once you get under that umbrella again, you're like, oh, there's shade here. There's cover.
Oh, my gosh.
Already,
yeah.
You had that. And to be honest, I really didn't know there was so much opposition yeah. against women in ministry until, I would say, actually pretty recently.
That's good, though.
I know. I mean, blind isn't bad, I guess. Yeah. But there was kind of a veil over my eyes. And you actually, like, we had talked about it some. And then I've kind of seen it more. Maybe it's because I'm speaking
yeah.
more. And so it's like kind of like when it is in your life, you start to go, oh, there's that green Jeep. Okay, I am seeing more. Okay,
that's
it
right.
actually is a thing, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's so crucial. And of course, like the enemy, like you said, the devil cannot be everywhere.
No.
And so he's just going to send up these soundtracks.
That's right.
And then if a woman listening suddenly feels ill-equipped,
oh yeah,
then all he's got to do is just, she'll just stay stagnant, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that's why we have to, I mean, I'm a word guy. I kind of like the Bible. I think he said what he said. He meant what he said.
Yeah.
And so often what we find is that even the word of God has been used in a way to hurt people.
Yeah.
Or to limit people.
Yeah.
And that was not the reason for the gospel. That's yeah. not what Jesus did.
Yeah.
It's more because we feel more comfortable hearing somebody talk about the Bible than reading it ourselves. And so we end up with all these skewed thought processes, and it really is detrimental to people growing in their faith.
Yeah.
And so it's a really wild time. But I mean, that's why I love when you preach here, when you speak here, and I love the women that speak on our stage.
Yeah.
Because I kind of just like, I'm honorary enough at this stage of my life to kind of like poking the bear on some of that
yeah.
stuff, you know, because
yeah.
it really is something that needs to be poked.
Yeah.
You know, racism and the issue over social justice and all that stuff has obviously come to the forefront in our society over the
yeah.
last few years, and should, right?
Right.
But long before there was racism, there was chauvinism. Long before that took place. That,
so true.
And so realizing that our God's not a hypocritical God,
yeah.
he's not going to allow the church to deal with one aspect of injustice.
Yeah.
Unless we're willing to deal with other aspects of injustice. That's yeah. really what's taking place today.
Yeah.
God's saying, listen, I'm all about
yeah.
all this stuff. You're just going to have to deal with it all equally
yeah.
instead of just pick what you're comfortable yeah. with dealing with.
Yeah. No, but in culture, you know, I think that's even something that I can only imagine how you feel. Because I think about when things happen, right, or the news headlines hit, and it's weird because I've, like, realized – like, I didn't know it was a thing, because, like, right, who am I to speak on it? But I guess because I write, or I don't know,
yeah.
people are like, so what are your thoughts? And I almost get mad if you post about one thing, but don't post about this.
I don't know, Claire. I think you're in the Wild West. You're in the social media spectrum on a level that
it is,
I'm like, I feel for you on that stuff.
Well, let me tell you what, that's mainly why I quote scripture. Safeguard.
It's kind of safe. It's, I mean, it's like, let's use the Bible.
Honestly, I'm not kidding you. That's, like, the actual boundary lines for Clearly Stated.
Yeah.
Is if it's supported by scripture, then we'll talk about it.
That's so
and we'll
good.
Speak about it.
So
and
good.
He wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he has something to say about everything. Not always so specifically. And guess what? When I don't know, he does. And that's my answer. I don't know and I got anything for you. I'm so glad he's God
that's
and I'm so,
so
glad I'm not.
Well, that's so wise. Funny thing is, like, this is terrible, but it's so funny. So I got an email the other day.
Oh, gosh.
And somebody, and it was fine. It was like actually somebody who's really close to me.
Yeah.
And they were like, and it was a funny email. They were trying to be funny, but they were like, hey, if you don't talk about Target on Sunday or something like that, I'm leaving the church. And you know what? I had to ask myself. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't watch the news.
Yeah.
I had no idea what Target had done. I had zero idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So literally when I had to go to Google Search. And find out what was going on with Target.
Yeah.
And I think what I learned during the pandemic is that we need to be careful not to, well, here's the deal is that the church is forever reactionary instead of full of action.
Yes.
And the truth is like, if we're doing the job that we're called to do,
right,
we don't need to talk to everything.
Yeah.
In fact, the culture's crazy as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that is distraction and trying to cause anxiety in us from doing what we're actually called to do.
Oh, that's so true.
And so, like, at the end of the day, I mean, I can say whatever I want to say about Target.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure they're not going to listen to me. I'm pretty sure that, like, my influence is not at that level yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, while it's fine if you want to speak about it, but my question is, are you really casting your pearls before swine, if you will, like the scripture says?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we then really begin to focus on what we're called to do and what we're called to impact? And I think as a pastor, for me, I'm called to pastor a church.
Yeah.
Now, I might have influence out there, but I'm never going to pastor people out west. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what are we trying to gain by a platform?
Yeah.
Impact? Or is it really pastoring, in my context, shepherding?
Yeah.
And I much rather shepherd you or shepherd our staff or our elders or our people here, because that's where I'm called. And I think so often we're trying to speak to fields that we're not supposed to even steward.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, stop worrying about that.
Yeah.
Start worrying about your family.
Yes, exactly. You know, like if you're mulling over so much about how am I going to say this? How can it be constructive or da-da-da? It's like, what's the motive in this?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'll try and check myself in that way.
That's so good.
You know, because it's kind of like, I mean, obviously I'm... And the Holy Spirit's always relevant, like beautiful news for us, right? So if I'm praying and I'm actually talking to him about what to share, it's going to be relevant.
Right.
So I don't have to hashtag it and make it about something terribly contradictory, right? Just to appease someone's perception of what I'm about.
Well,
right?
I think that's the rabbit hole of social media.
Yeah.
Is that you really, if you want to find something to speak to every day,
you can find
it.
Yes.
You know, and it literally is like navigating landmines.
Yeah.
I mean, you are literally trying, which one am I going to step on today and blow my foot off?
Yeah.
And it just becomes this spiral. And I think you're right. It's what I've always loved about your social media is that it really is word centric. And when we can use the word to heal.
Yeah.
Then it's awesome. When we can use the word to convict, or when the Holy Spirit uses the word to convict, it's awesome. When all those things take place, it's beautiful. But let's just stick to the word, because he kind of said what he meant.
Yeah.
And he meant what he said.
And it's
timeless. It's the only thing that lasts forever.
Yep.
And so it's a beautiful thing when people really begin to see the wealth and beauty in the word.
Yeah.
And understand its context.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's my biggest thing right now in this season is I grew up much more spirit-filled, charismatic, so theology was not necessarily, I mean, my dad was deep in theology, but our church thought process, and I just think people understanding context and even getting into the messy places really helps people understand the beauty of the gospel, not reaction to the word.
Well, and I think God honors so much when we do study that when we are a student of
it. Oh my God.
It's not about getting it.
No.
You know, I mean, I've seen that even with him is if I'm just, what is this about?
Yeah.
Like, what was he trying to tell me here? You know, I mean, the other day I came across a situation at work and I genuinely was like, Lord, I don't really know what you would do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to do the right thing, but to be honest, it's not a real clear burning bush to me.
Yeah.
And I think he honors that. I think that place awesome. You know, like he's not trying to make it great.
Well, I think like if we look at the word of God, I think this is how I envision it. I envision church like this. I think that God sets in place our boundaries. So I think he's definitely saying, hey, here's some boundaries that I've set in place in my word.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, here's the backyard. There's a lot I don't care about. Go have fun.
Be free.
Because if I want you to experience freedom. I want you to experience creativity. I want you to experience joy.
Yeah.
I want you to experience responsibility. I want you to experience all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So when Christians start saying, well, God didn't tell me I can do that, or God, I'm waiting for God's word. And I'm like, why don't you study the word to find the boundary so that then you can know what actual freedom is and know that there's a lot of things that happen in our life that God cares about, but he doesn't necessarily have a word about.
So do you think we want rigidity almost because we want control?
Oh, that's why we lean towards religion. We rather create all the rules and make sure that everybody else knows the rules so that we're all doing the rules together.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know what, like, and I was speaking to a couple in the church the other day, and they're coming up with a big decision, and I basically looked at them and said, don't over spiritualize it. Like, if you want to do it, go do it.
Yeah.
If it's not contrary to the word of God, why are you worried about it?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things in our life that we would take a lot of the anxiety, even as Christians, off of ourselves.
Yeah, probably more as Christians.
Oh my God! If we just said, hey.
Yeah.
Thank God for your backyard. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
He never told Adam and Eve that they were supposed to enjoy the entire garden. He just said, don't eat of this tree.
Yeah.
Don't eat of this tree.
Yeah.
That was their only boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. And so they were able to go enjoy the whole garden, have fun. I mean, he didn't say, oh, I got a word from God today that I can go swimming. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's literally like, so what are we doing? Yeah. We're over-spiritualizing or we under-spiritualize. Yeah. We very just rarely live as sons and daughters in God's.
Which, like, I think is so important. It's so it's childish almost to say.
Yeah.
But, like, to have fun. Like, I think that is such a sermon to the watching
it's
world.
It's huge.
Is if it's, and of course, like, in good faith, but I mean, like, really have fun. You know, I don't mean, like, play Christian board games. I'm saying, like, have fun.
No, this is so good, clear. So, have you ever done the Wheel of Life?
I don't think so.
So, every once in a while, there's this.
Wait, we did at small group, right?
We did. That's exactly right.
Yes.
So, like, there's this exercise.
Oh, I actually hated it because I didn't do great at fun then. I remember.
So, it's the eight categories of your life. I had a counselor do this with me because I was going through a really tough time probably about, I don't know, six, 7 years ago. And he pulled out this wheel. It's called the Wheel of Life. There's different variations of it. And it's basically eight categories in your life. And you're supposed to color this pie chart to the extent that you feel, which is great. Great question. How do you feel about these aspects of your life, right? Yep. And basically, I got done coloring, and pretty much all of them were pretty balanced.
Decent, yeah.
And then fun was zero.
Oh, my God.
And he said to me, he said, you have got to feel fun.
It's your medicine.
That's exactly, or you will be unhealthy. And I was like, and it was interesting to me because I like to work out and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I mean, I have fun working out is what I said. He said, no, that's your health. He said, you need to actually learn what it is to delight.
Yes. That's what I, so when you brought that out at small group, that was my answer. I was like, what? I mean, you know.
Right. And it's almost, listen, what's weird about it for me, and I would bet that it's probably the same for you, is that you almost feel bad about having fun.
I hate because it's so stupid that you do, knowing that it's about delight. And then you're like coaching yourself, like, you're going to have a good time today.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're
going
to learn
you're
how to have fun.
You're going to have a
you're
great
gonna
time.
You're going to have fun, right? Like, what a terrible coach to have,
right.
You know? But I do think it's that point where it is a muscle.
Like, oh, yeah.
I do think it is something where, hey, you don't just automatically take yourself a little less seriously.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go, look, it's good
here. You
have
to flex it.
Hey, you can be like, do the silly things. You can flex this.
That's
you can do this. You can, you know, like, you can be childlike again. And that's actually a great sign of spiritual maturity.
Oh,
it's
tremendous.
Is that you trust God enough that you would go play in the backyard.
Well, most marriages suffer today because we started out dating, having fun.
That's right.
And then we don't have time for fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I would just say you don't have time not to figure out what fun is.
That's right.
You've got to figure that out. And in fact, the truth is, fun is the most attractive thing. We would win a lot more people to Jesus if they actually saw us having fun instead of us walking around with Eeyore faces all the time asking for it to rain. I mean, it's so terrible. I mean, and so really fun and health is the most attractive thing to anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you think about it, like health, and I'm not talking about just physical health. I'm talking about just health in general. It is literally the most attractive thing in our culture today because there's no sign of it.
Yeah.
Fun is attractive. Yeah. Good, clean, solid fun. And it's what God created us. I mean, I just go back to Genesis. I mean, it's first three chapters of the Bible.
They're so rich.
Well, they are because they're the way it was intended.
Yeah.
And it's what we're all driving back to.
Yep.
In the end.
And how much order is present, right?
Oh, yeah.
But also how much
freedom. We were talking about it. It would help everybody who's listening to this to really just ruminate on this thought, right? Is that God created time. Mm-hmm. Like, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars to number the seasons, the days, and the years.
Yeah.
So if God created time, time is always on my side if I'm on God's side.
Mm. Yep.
It's never working against him. It is always working for him.
So you're not behind.
I'm never behind. Yeah. If I'm in step with him, mm-hmm. I'm never too late.
Yeah.
If I'm in step with him,
you're not gonna
I'm never
miss
too
out.
Early. I'm not going to miss out.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, mm-hmm. but we don't think that.
Yeah.
We think like time was somebody else's creation.
Isn't that weird? Because essentially, if we don't believe that, we're believing that purpose is separate from God.
That's right.
Right?
that's right.
That doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
You know, but if you think about what we pursue, it's essentially, I'm going to figure out my purpose and then I'll invite God in.
Yeah.
And then I'll make it godly.
One of my funniest, like I say this all the time because it is funny, but it hopefully makes people think, is that running is unscriptural. Jesus walked everywhere. He never ran.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I say it, and people look at me.
People who don't run love that. They're like,
oh, yeah. Oh, they're right. Yeah, praise. Good amen.
Like, I'm going to put a 0.0 sticker on my car.
That's exactly right. And then I had somebody who's like training for a marathon, stopped me the other day. And
not a fan.
I got to be careful because, you know, people take me really serious, and I really just play it. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is kind of interesting that Jesus did walk.
Yeah.
And he there was this ease of life that Jesus operated in. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, he only had 33 years of life and 3 years of ministry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just really speaks to us. I think the greatest impacts and greatest things that we ever do will probably never be seen by our eyes.
Which just tells you so much of it. Like, what if our culture made it their goal to be anonymous?
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
It would be so life-giving.
Right.
And so much anxiety gone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard because I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I understand, like, right now, if I went anonymous, I'd be like, wait, can someone buy a scripture? Wait, no, really, I need health insurance.
Yeah.
But really, like, if you, yeah, because in those 33 years, that's where, I mean, he was a perfect savior, but he developed the tenacity and the perseverance and the character so that when that time of ministry and crucifixion came, he knew his answer.
Well, I think we need to have a generation that's okay with anonymity.
Yeah.
I think it's like,
because have we put fame or popularity as health?
Well, because I mean, I would say that before David could ever reach the palace, he had to go through the cave.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people today that don't want to embrace the season of the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to get to the palace.
Yeah.
And I would say, I mean, like, you know, how do you know that, I mean, I don't want to use the word famous, but, I mean, God wants to put people in places of authority, godly mm-hmm. people in places of authority. I believe that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be willing to go through the season of anonymity so that the character can be developed in us.
Yeah.
So that it's not the size of the influence that defines us.
Well, then all you have is elevation without peace, which is misery.
Yeah, and it's also like for you, and I mean, I think about this, and it's probably like one of the things that I love about our eldership here and how they don't want me teaching mm-hmm. all the time. And even now on the weekends, there's not weekends that I own all the services.
That's right. Yeah.
Because the content, like the pressure to create content mm-hmm. is an unbelievable pressure. Like
I don't think I realize the pressure that it is.
I don't think you do either. I mean, it's my only, I mean, as your pastor, I process it all the time because like, I'm thinking like, you know, most Fortune 500 CEOs, they prepare 2 or 3 talks a year and they give those 2 or 3 talks 90 mm-hmm. times over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, pastors and content creators, I mean, last year I think I counted it up and I created something like 150 different talks, messages, leadership, like, and it's like unsustainable.
Yeah.
It's literally like you can't sustain that. Because you burn out. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I mean, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it for the long term. And the pressure of success, people don't talk about that very much. The pressure that success produces on your life.
Yeah.
And so really saying, you know, I remember having this thought because I've been senior pastor for 7 years. I've talked about it a lot recently. Is like, over the last 7 years, we've been on a pretty good run. I mean, we've had a lot of fire, like that probably in our personal lives that some people don't know.
Yeah.
But like from an outside looking in, they're like, oh, open doors, you know. And I'm like, but that's created to me an unsustainable success.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sitting there processing in my brain like, well, mm-hmm. what if we take a nail? You know what I'm saying? Like, when is that coming? Because, I mean, I know, you know, and I really think that that's what I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do in this next sabbatical is, like, really search out that part of my soul that, and I've said it multiple times from the stage recently, is that I know that when good things happen in my life, it's God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still tell I wrestle with a religious spirit because when something bad happens in my life, I think it's my fault.
Mm.
And I think that that's so often, even those who really have broken free and experienced God's grace, we still think when something unexpected, something downward, like, you know, we're not always up and to the right.
Yep.
But we're also, hey, we're going to hit this little,
little
dip.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do wrong?
Yeah.
What happened? Why is God's favor not upon us? And it's actually still his favor upon us, maybe downgrading our status a little bit.
Well, and what if opposition is his favor?
Oh, well, I think it is, clearly. I mean, you know, you read the Bible. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's absolutely.
I mean, but like, I think that's so, we're still so surprised by it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, I guess that's just human tendency, right? Like you said, like if I'm aligned, then it's good.
Yeah.
But I can be aligned and it be really, really, really hard and the door's still not opening.
Well, some of the greatest blessings in my life have been the hardest moments.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the deal, guys. Just because that's true doesn't mean I got to like it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Awful. You know what I'm saying? So let's just be honest, but also surround your people. This is the thing with success, though. You'll end up surrounding yourself with people that splash the anointing up instead of allowing it to run down.
Mm.
So what you'll end up with is you'll end up with your groupies, if you will, that are only there because of the success.
Mm.
And that's why it's important to have people, like we were even talking about in the beginning, that grounds you.
Yeah.
That speak life into you, that aren't enamored with you.
Yeah.
But actually love you for being you.
Yes.
Instead of loving you for the success that you've produced.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where, like, you just got to be careful because we live in a wild world that people are drawn to success. Mm-hmm. And it's really what I have to be careful of as a people pleaser, that not everybody's voice or no one's voice matters as much as Lauren's.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren's like Lauren and a few others. There are a few others. But they'll say the things that I don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But when you're successful, it's hard to lean to the things you need to hear.
Yeah.
Because everybody's saying what you want to hear.
Absolutely. Well, and also that it is those hard things, too, that you're like, I know I'm safe. It's a weird feeling of like, because you're hitting me where it hurts, I know that you're trying to keep me safe. But I'm still going to resist it. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm still like, that doesn't feel good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that does welcome a safety when there is that, like, honesty.
I think it does.
you know?
Well, I also think, too, is that my pastor told me early on, he said, Aaron, he said, you can create every system in the world, but those systems can't make you humble.
Mm.
And he said, so the reality is, so like, humility is always a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, all the rhythms that we've talked about, all the things that we can...
All the stuff, all the...
You know, get us all in, all of it. You know, you can have all the things on paper, all the processes, all the right things.
Yeah.
It doesn't fix what's in here. And I think that's in going through this year, I have 100% come to realize. I'm like, you know, I have a lot of good rhythms. I have a lot of good structure.
Mm-hmm.
All of that structure, it doesn't fix what's deep in my heart.
Yeah.
And I still have to let the Holy Spirit in that portion of my life.
Yeah.
So that all of this isn't just religious activity.
Yeah.
But it's actually first flowing from the heart
of
humility.
What are you believing for right now? Like, what are you, and I know you're about to go on sabbatical, so maybe you're going to say, talk to me in a month. Right. Like, but what are you asking God about? Maybe that's a better question.
You know, I started praying because the first 7 years have been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the growth, what God's done, the team. I mean, it's just been a really fruitful, wild time, right?
Yeah.
And I started praying. I was actually meeting with my therapist, and I started having this really sick feeling. Like, I mean, I can't explain it to you that God was saying there's not another mountain right now.
Wow.
And I would like to say that I was like, praise God. But actually what I was like is, what?
Mm-hmm.
And through some prayer, meeting with my therapist, and just processing that, I realized that the next mountain was me.
Oh.
And that there's some things deep in my life that I've got to really touch and deal with. And I think it does go... And I hope this isn't too vulnerable, but whatever. But I, you know, I think that it does go to the fact that every seventh year was a sabbatical year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like God said, hey, I'm going to give you enough provision in year six so that the land rests.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking about.
So crazy, right? And so this, I'm getting ready to go into year number eight. And so maybe maybe honestly, I missed it. But I think that at the end of the day, it's just a moment to not look back with pride. I just think it's a moment to really say, all right, this is a moment that there's some things that have to shift in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really healthy. I think it's very uncomfortable right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that open door won't grow. I'm not saying we won't. But a lot of things are in place that now people are taking ground without me having to be the one like, take this ground.
Yeah,
I just
think
as a senior pastor, people always come, what's the vision? What's the vision? What's the vision? And I'm like, I don't know. Love God. Love my family. Enjoy life.
But you told, I remember I asked you about vision recently because I was kind of like, I don't
You probably wish you hadn't after I said what I said.
No, it was very helpful. You said, what if not having vision is actually vision in itself? Like, there's a level of dependency right now. Like, all you know is whose hand you're holding. And it's actually a really highly uncomfortable, place to be. It's hard to communicate. I think that's what I've realized is, like, when people are, you know, what's next or this or that, and you have to communicate it to a lot of people.
Well, I think the business world gets it more than church world, church people, because everybody knows in business that certain percentages of growth become unsustainable.
Yeah.
And so you almost have to stop it.
Yeah.
So that you can inhabit it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is scriptural.
Yes.
So I just want to take it back to scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally said to Joshua, you will not take all the land because the wild animals and the land will swallow you up.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to inhabit all that you take.
Yeah.
And so there's this really beautiful picture that when we're in step with God, there's going to be seasons of winter.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be seasons of literal, like, stop.
Yeah.
So that you can inhabit what I've placed under you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's all about stewardship.
Yeah.
And so he's not, you know, I think people say, well, God's about growth. God's really, I don't think about growth. I think he's about stewardship. He never gives us more than we can steward.
Yeah.
The enemy's attack on our life is to always give us more than we can handle.
Yeah.
And so it's really like, okay. And I don't, I mean, I think there's some places even in my life that I might maybe took too much of a step this past year. And so it's really just coming back and assessing that and being okay. Yeah. I think that contentment is a dirty word. It's really a hard word because it's like, am I content?
Yeah.
And I think I'm 43, and so I'm at a place in my life. I've arrived here faster where I'm at right now. I'm definitely here faster than I thought I would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a really good season to assess what's in me.
Yeah.
What's there? What needs to die?
Yeah.
And then continue on. So if you ask me what's next, what am I excited about? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm excited about facing myself, but I think it's been really good. When we moved to Four Services, I met with the elders and they were like, you don't need to preach all four. And, I was like, okay, yeah, that's really good. That's healthy. And I said, you know, and I knew it. It messed with me clear.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, it jacked me up. And I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Because I was like, my identity's in it.
Mm.
And I was like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And I was like, whew, how quickly does that stuff attach to us? And then how sweet is it that the Holy Spirit says, where I'm calling you to go, you can't take that part of your identity with you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I love it. And this is so, like, you mentioned too vulnerable, so I don't know if this is even more vulnerable to say, but I literally just got a vision of you, like, as a child in a field and, like, pulling a scale off your eye. It's like, I don't want you to miss a bit of this picture.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to get you even to a point where you thought the sun was shining, but it's about to get even bigger.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's just, but that does look like a clearing, you know? I mean, I was telling you a little bit about getting rid of stuff in our townhouse, and I was like, man, it's not a fun process, but, like, the exposure of what you don't need, right? This, like, I think so much of what he's calling me to right now is simplification. Because then you can't inhabit, right? Like,
that's
you
right.
can't sit in a space when there's stuff
everywhere.
Right. And so, and you also, and I also asked you about dreaming because I was like, Aaron, I don't think I know how to dream.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I think that's also because it can be good things.
Yeah.
But when there's so much around you that you're like, I'm not sure what I'm dreaming for.
That's right.
You know, and I think so sometimes it's just a matter of clearing that land.
Yeah.
And given space,
right.
you know, so that you can do that. So
just trust in that process. And,
yeah.
And it's, you know,
process. It's, talk about a dirty word.
It's just, yeah, seriously. And then it's just, you know, I mean, being a child in love with your daddy.
Yeah.
And just, is that enough? I mean, I think that's just the piece of, like, so much of what, I don't know. I think in this stage of my life, I'm less enamored with being known as a pastor and just want to be a person. And
I think that speaks so much to what the Holy Spirit's doing inside of you, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not your flesh, right? Like,
yeah.
that
no,
is only
yeah.
the Holy Spirit that he's getting you to this point.
Well, yeah, I think the title doesn't fulfill you.
Yeah, no.
And when you realize that there's not going to be that fulfillment through that. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't feel accomplishment on some things, right?
Yeah, and as you should.
But that's totally different than fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I think that there's that place of, like, okay, let's just kind of walk through that process, and maybe God will give us more, but maybe this is as far as we're supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know, and is that okay? I mean, you know, I think about you. I think about some of our other team and how just amazing they are. I mean, there'd probably be a whole lot more fruit came from Open Door if I spend the next 10 years pouring into that group than what would ever come through my hand. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we have bought the lie of is that it's not about raising up the next generation.
Yeah.
The greatest stuff that ever is accomplished will come when we're dead,
yeah,
when we're gone,
yeah,
and when maybe we took time. Years ago, when we first started Child Development Center, I would be able to go out and play on the playground with the kids, and we were just starting out, and there was this young man out there who was just, he was 5 years old, and I would play ball with him, and probably, well, last year, I got a call from his parents, and they wanted to give my phone number to their son.
Yeah.
Well, their son is now 18 years old.
Wow.
And he's that kid I used to play with on the playground.
Wow.
And I was able to sit down with him, and I just began to realize there was a seed that was sown,
mm-hmm,
13 years ago. And I mean, I'm not old. So, I mean, there's a seed that was sown 13 years ago that now is bringing forth life.
Yeah.
You know, and then I lost my dad 3.5 years ago. And I think about there's things that he saw that he never saw with his natural eyes.
Yeah.
But now he's in the great cloud of witnesses and he's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may that be said of us.
Yeah.
That we actually had a God dream big enough that it encompassed other generations and other people to live into. Instead,
man,
of it just being us.
That outlasted you.
Oh my gosh.
So much more.
It's so much better.
Like how much work will you put towards putting treasures in a chest that you know you won't get to touch or post about or tell anyone about or necessarily even cultivate here?
That's right.
But you know they're gonna be so good.
Yeah. And it's the best, it's the best work. And it's like when I think about the Bible we love. I mean, Paul didn't write letters thinking that thousands of years later we'd read it.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't in it for quantity.
Yeah.
And I think so often now our culture's made us buy into this thought process of quantity is good.
Yeah.
And the truth is, man, God's like,
that's
dude, I took a few fishes and a few,
yeah,
loaves,
yeah,
and I blessed it.
Yeah.
And I fed multitudes.
You
so am I the one to feed multitudes or you?
Yeah. And you can't go many places if you're carrying a lot.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, it's just, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I believe, you know, when people listening might say, well, I mean, God, you know, doesn't God want us blessed? He absolutely does. He just wants us to be blessed through his hand, not blessed through our own.
Yeah.
And I think that when we bless ourselves through our own hand, well, I mean, we've bought into the fact that we're the ones who have to sustain it.
Yeah.
When it's us receiving the blessing from his hand, then we're able to enjoy it.
Yeah. And I think people have the wrong definition of so many different words because they've misdefined Jesus himself.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So then blessing becomes this or that, or blessing is the deliverance of a promise I'm asking for.
Yeah.
Maybe not the character that I'm praying for, right?
Right.
Like, or so, and I think in turn, we start to confuse ourselves a little bit, you know,
for sure,
when that happens.
Well, but none of the hall of faith or fame, faith that is found in Hebrews, it literally says they didn't even receive the fullness of the promise.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of faith that's connected more to Jesus than it's connected to the outcome.
Mm.
And so it's like, you know,
yeah,
when we die to the outcome and just simply believe him at his word. I mean, there's,
yeah,
a song out, take him at his word.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something powerful about that when he said it, it's kind of a dead issue with me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let him bring it about how he wants to instead of me try to force it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us, I mean, there's just things that you're writing today that are going to live on for generations,
mm-hmm,
and are going to reap fruit, bring about fruit that you don't even know.
Yeah.
And that's already happening,
yeah,
right? But the best things that we do in our life, I mean, that's why all the moms listening and all the parents listening, I mean, what you sow into your children,
mm-hmm,
will have a whole lot greater impact on your family generations from now.
Yeah.
Than anything that you know.
Yeah.
And so be willing to do the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Be willing to do the stuff that is inconvenient now.
Yeah.
So that generations from you reap that benefit.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's
so
it's and it's just we have a very myopic view,
mm,
of life,
yeah,
and how it impacts us. And part of maturity and becoming mature is really having a different view and saying, you know what, it might be worth it to be hard for me so that the next generation can flourish.
Mm. Think about Paul and Timothy, you know?
Yeah.
That sacrifice. And then, but I think too, and even when praying about with writing recently, one thing that the Lord has kind of impressed upon me is just when thinking about culture and everything that's going on and all of that, you know, and he's just kind of said, hey, look, my people are so short-sighted.
Yeah.
I just want you to help them see.
That's
and
right.
You talk about it by talking about what I've already told you.
Yeah.
What's in my word? What do I have to say about this? Who am I?
Yeah.
And I think where our culture will make a change is not to say, who am I in this world, but who is God in this world?
That's right.
Right? Because that's when we say, okay, it's good. And I know what he's doing. I don't know how it's actually like, how is it all going to shake out? But I think when we consume ourselves with him, mm-hmm. that's when we're the healthiest.
Oh,
right.
Man.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so just being intentional about that,
you know. So good.
But I wanted to end it with asking you how we can pray for you.
Oh.
I know you're going on sabbatical.
Yeah.
But, and I know you said, you know, just getting into the deep work.
Yeah.
But is there anything else we can pray for you for?
You know, really, that we would hold firm, that we would just stay true.
Yeah.
I think, you know, what I said earlier about what Brady said to me is that I would end this race when that time comes and I'd be Aaron Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, I think, that's the prayer that I have for myself now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I think in our culture, it's the hardest right now to remain true to Jesus and not compromise.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be what I'd ask everybody to pray for me, for Open Door, for my family, is that we would just remain true to God's call and love with him more today and love with him more tomorrow than we've ever been. And that, we'd be who he's called us to be.
Yeah.
But also be what he created us to be.
I think that's a really good protective measure, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want anything. I think I'm getting to a place. It sounds like a pun. In past, it probably would have been. But I really don't want anything that he's not giving.
Yeah.
And I think when we stay in that place, we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
Good. You're coming back, so get ready.
Hey, let's go.
I appreciate you.
You too. Very much.